right. So we just finished a series on identity and kind of the idea of finding our true identity. And we really looked at kind of the idea of what it means to flourish and really live out our authentic selves, not just like, oh, be who you are, but really like find in a deep way who you are and live that out, like your passions, not hiding any part of yourself. So in the new series, we want to talk about taking that series to the next level. So what does it mean to kind of embrace that? What are the next steps we need to take? Maybe just one step or maybe a couple. So as you listen to the last series, you may have had one thing or several things stand out to you or resonate to you. Maybe you thought, yeah, that's something I need to do, or maybe I need to think about making some changes. And if you weren't here, I'm going to tell you a little bit about kind of what we covered in that last series, or also if you were here, kind of to jog your memory about what we talked about. And even if you weren't here, you kind of know somewhere deep inside, right, when we talk about your identity, and if you're really living out your authentic identity, you probably have a feeling like, yeah, I'm in that and I'm doing that, or maybe, no, I'm not. I'm hiding a part of myself, or I'm kind of living in fear in some areas. So I'll remind us quickly of what we covered in the series. And that was kind of the series we did over the last few months. So quick summary of each one. Losing my identity is where we looked at kind of some of the things that to find our identity we needed to lose. So that could be pretending, comparing, faking, kind of those masks that we put on sometimes. Growing with God is that a big part of being able to grow and be your authentic self is removing any of those barriers that are stopping God from working in our lives. So the Spirit can just flow through us and we can just flourish for the sake of ourselves and for the sake of everyone around us. Surrender was letting go of who I think I should be, kind of who maybe other people or myself are telling me like I should be this person, and allowing God to use who we actually are. My desires, kind of the idea that it's okay and normal to desire things. We all have desires, they're God-given. The only concern is when we get out of balance by getting obsessed with those and making them all about ourselves and looking at how our deepest desires can actually lead us towards God. Removing anxiety and fear. We talked about what kind of barriers fear and anxiety are there for us to actually live out our true identity. Looking at trying to be more like Jesus during the storms of life, being more mindful and more present in our lives. Then putting on the presence of God, so taking off those negative aspects of ourself and putting on these positive ones of God, replacing those with that. Letting God help with those issues, maybe asking others for prayer and praying for wisdom ourselves. There's the importance of connection. So obviously there's importance of relational connections in our lives, but also the need to make sure those are life-giving relationships and making those a priority. Those people that are around us that give us life and help us flourish and encourage us to be who we are and love us as we are. There was the importance of work, how to work towards your strengths and move forward in purpose and hope in what you do. And we ended up on overcoming adversity. So becoming someone that, obviously we're all gonna have pain and adversity in our lives, but becoming someone that finds resilience and integrates those good lessons into who we are and moving forward in life with more resilience and more responsibility for ourselves. So we covered a lot of ground, and maybe you remember some of that as kind of maybe striking you or resonating with you during that series. Or maybe just today you see something that sticks out to you. And today we want to focus on what is the role of courage in embracing those things. Because it's likely, it's almost positive, that there's going to be risk and vulnerability involved in taking the next step, and we're going to need courage for that. So first, I want to define courage so we're all on the same page. Think about what comes to your mind when you hear the word courage. If you're like me, you may have these kind of things pop into your mind. Immediately, I think of things that are more like dramatic and heroic and brave. Professionals like firefighters, law enforcement officers, Navy SEALs, all of these different professions in which people actually risk their own lives for the sake of others. Or you might think of people that have come up, they're just living their ordinary lives, but they have the chance to jump in and push someone out of the way of a car, get involved when someone's being bullied or assaulted, jumping in a river to save someone. You know those big kind of stories we hear or we might see on the news. And although all of those people and professionals are hugely courageous and heroic and require a lot of just being brave, today we want to look at ordinary courage. The courage that each of us can choose in our lives, in our everyday lives and relationships. And that's the kind of courage that can belong to all of us. So the word courage comes from the Latin word cor, which means heart. So courage is living from the heart. Brené Brown says, courage originally meant to speak one's mind by telling all one's heart. So the idea of speaking honestly and openly about who we are and living honestly and openly, that kind of thing out in our lives. Living life just every day honestly and openly as who we are. With courage, we're talking about this willingness to show up in this life that God's given us and putting ourselves out there in the world. And like I said, risk and vulnerability go hand in hand with courage. We always take a risk to move forward. So here is an example. This is one of the ways I would explain ordinary courage. As you can see, probably, we see courage in a lot of ways in that clip. So Kate ends up, she's sitting next to a coworker. She ends up that meeting because she was vulnerable and took a risk and admitted she had a problem to a coworker that she didn't know actually had the same problem. He admitted that and invited her to this meeting. And then she showed up. And what a lot of courage it took to initiate that conversation. Interacting in this really intimate environment where you don't know the social norms, just kind of awkward. It's brave to introduce yourself to a group the first time and share these parts of your heart and life and story, especially parts that are often shamed and stigmatized in society. So I just wanted to give that as one example of everyday courage. And what does courage in embracing your identity for you look like? I had like a 3-page list, so I pared it down, but I just wanted to throw some out to you. So consider where you need courage. And it could be courage for something really small. Obviously, that was a more like bigger moment of courage and moments of courage, but we need courage often for small steps in the right direction. A couple you might need courage to do is just acknowledging to yourself you're not flourishing and not living out of your full authentic self and something needs to change. Maybe there's something present or past that needs healing, something blocking you that you need to get rid of, addiction, busyness, drama, all those kinds of things. Maybe you're a creative and maybe you haven't been creating and you need to start again. And it's risky because you're putting yourself out there and part of yourself. You need courage to fail and not be perfect. Maybe you need to return to an activity or something that you know used to give you life and be a part of you and be important to you that you stopped. Maybe you failed and you need to try again, or maybe just get out there and restart it. Maybe for you it's being open to ask family or friends for help. That's super vulnerable and courageous. Asking for advice, maybe it's calling a therapist for the first time. Trying something new you need in your life. There's so many things. Join a club or a group, take a lesson, go to school, finish school, get in a training program, anything that allows you to go to that next place in your life and not live with regrets that, oh, it's too late for me or I'm already so far into this one thing. Getting a job or a new job, moving to a position that fits who you really are, starting your own business. Maybe you need courage to say yes to something, an opportunity. Or maybe your courage is saying no to something and stepping back from unfair expectations and unrealistic expectations. Maybe you need courage, and I've seen this in a lot of people lately, to take a stand and get involved in fighting injustice. So think about what are those issues that just get your heart and just make you feel hurt or angry and you see injustices, and getting out there and getting active in whatever way that is. You might need courage to deal with some health issues that are holding you back, physical health, mental health. And maybe for you to flourish in life right now, some relational things need to change. And there's so many of these as well. Courage to set boundaries, ending a toxic relationship, putting yourself out there to be vulnerable to make more friendships or try a relationship, accepting accountability, apologizing, being humble, going after a broken relationship and trying to heal that relationship that maybe in the past was a big part of your identity. Those are hard things. And finally, maybe you need courage around your relationship with God. That can be a risky, vulnerable place for us. Maybe we've been hurt in the past. But finding strength, healing, hope, and perseverance through that to become fully who you are and living life to the fullest. Maybe that means you've already done the most courageous thing you could do today by showing up in this space and choosing into community. So these are all things that are courageous. That's just a few examples. Take what that means for you or what you already know. And I wanted to pause and make sure that each of you hears this, that you're important and that we need you. That this isn't just something you do for yourself, it's something to do for the world because we need you. To share and live out the beautiful parts of you, because without you doing that, there are important things missing. So if you look at these verses in 1 Corinthians 12, Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. The body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So don't underestimate your importance. We don't want parts of our body missing because you don't realize how important you are to it. Your identity, gifts, talents, your story, your past pain, your present pain, passions, background, dreams. You have so much to offer and to bring. We'd be lacking without you. And I thought in these verses, I like it because Paul makes some interesting points as he talks about each member of the body being important. Each of us have this role to play, and maybe ours doesn't feel as glorious, or maybe we feel more afraid and exposed as part of the body. But each part's vital. And I like that he just talks about even the foot. So here's a lot of feet. Doing a lot of things. Being the foot seems a lot less glorious than being like the hand or the face or the voice, right? Or the eyes. But the body would be in bad shape without a foot or feet. And even each of our muscles, it takes 200 muscles for us to walk. 200 individual muscles. That's crazy to me. Even if you crack one small bone in your foot, if you followed my little saga last fall, I think, one little chip in one little bone in my foot caused misery and stress for weeks. It's crazy. And when one part of our body suffers, we all do. But that's when we need you to stay in the body so we can help you heal. Feet are awfully important. So if our foot doesn't show up in life, it's going to affect us. And say you're a foot trying to live life as a hand, or if you're a really good eyeball but trying to pretend you're an ear, it's miserable for you and it hurts all of us. So your part of this community and this world is important to all of us. So the challenge for us today is to embrace courage. To embrace courage to fully be ourselves, live freely and authentically. And I want to encourage us, just take one step in this journey. You don't have to go home today or this week, radically change everything. That feels a little overwhelming sometimes. Just taking one step in that journey starts us in the right direction. And it might not be a step that's guaranteed or certain to succeed, but it's a step in the right direction, a step that's worth taking even if it doesn't work out. Brené Brown shared this inspiring quote years ago, and it's really helpful for me to visualize and get kind of a dose of courage and a reminder to persevere. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. This is a part of a speech that Theodore Roosevelt gave. Many call it the Man in the Arena speech. And part of it goes like this, condensed. It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man or woman who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. To me, this is basically a roadmap to embracing courage. Because this is what we need. Four things I wanted to share today to end up with. Show up in the arena. Remember, we need you to do that. Some of the bravest things we need to do will have us feeling completely exposed and afraid, like that person in the arena. And courage looks like stepping out there and facing the fight. If courage is my value, I have to show up in the arena. When we're standing at the edge of something new, taking one of these steps, we've talked about one of these things that we need courage for. Taking off a mask, being vulnerable, taking a risk. We're exposed. We're not guaranteed to win. We are guaranteed to get our butts kicked, maybe a little bit and maybe a lot. But we have to show up, and we need you to do that. Thankfully, a part of that will help us is reserving great seats in the arena for our real supporters. We all need at least one person, and ideally more in our lives, that will pick us up when we fall, who will help us kind of say to us, well, that sucked, and it was as bad as you thought, but it was brave. So let's get you cleaned up because you're going back out in the arena. These people should have great seats in the arena, cheering us on and helping us. And this includes the people that are the loving truth tellers in our lives, people that will help pick us up when we fall and give us some feedback or constructive criticism as they send us back out in the arena. We need those people. If you have constructive criticism, I'd like you to give it to me. Because you love me, then I want it, if you're that loving truth teller and not a critic. I think we all do. We also have to learn to ignore those in the cheap seats. We don't control the arena in our lives. We don't know who's going to show up, and we can't always control who's at work or who's maybe even in our family that's a critic. But we want to know who to ignore and know who we are and are not going to give the right to speak into our lives. We can't just paint with a broad brush and say we don't care what anyone thinks. We're all out there on our own. It's fine. Because when we lose the capacity to care about the important people and what they think, we lose this capacity for connection. So that can be dangerous for us. That's why we reserve those good seats and know who to filter out. So when people have feedback, opinions, judgments of us, we can stop and say, hey, if you're out there in the arena yourself and you have constructive criticism you want to give me, great, I really want that. But if you're not in the arena getting your butt kicked and taking those risks, I'm not interested in your opinion. If you're in the cheap seats not putting yourself on the line and just telling me how I can do it better, I'm not interested in your feedback. So just remembering, like that quote says, and we have that quote on, there's some little cards if you want to take that with you on the floor around you. Remembering it's not the critic who counts. When we open our real authentic selves up, there's always people with judgment and opinions. And Brené Brown said about this, nothing has transformed my life more than realizing that it's a waste of time to evaluate my worthiness by weighing the reaction of the people in the stands. The people who love me and will be there regardless of the outcome are within arm's reach. She said this realization changed everything for her. And last, we need you to keep showing up. Right? Keep showing up in the arena. It's easier to run away the first time we take a beating or the first time we fail. It'd be much easier to not step back out. But if you show up and be seen, if you go into the arena, whatever that means for you, creating things, making courageous changes, revealing hidden things about yourself, throwing off unrealistic expectations, all the, whatever that is for you that you need to do, you'll get your butt kicked to some level. Life's hard, taking risks is hard, vulnerability is really hard. That's a guarantee, but if we're not failing sometimes, we're not really showing up. But at the end of life, or even sooner than that, I think this community, the people I know, the heart of the people here, want to say that even if we failed while daring greatly. That's what the end of the quote says. It's scary, dangerous, and terrifying going into the arena, but it's also scary, dangerous, or terrifying the idea of getting to the end of our lives with regrets and asking, what if I had really shown up? So in this next week or months or even a few months, consider showing up in the arena and keep on showing up in the arena day after day. We need you. You're an important part of this community and body, and we don't have to do this alone. We can do this together. Please don't do it alone. Please, if that's one of your risks you need to take by building some relationships here, joining a group, whatever that needs to be so that you're not doing this alone. Let's be willing to show up in this life God's given us and put ourselves out there in the world to know and embrace our true identities and face every day with courage. So if you will just, on that note, join me in prayer. God, we come before you and ask that you will give us strength, wisdom and perseverance as we seek to embrace courage. Help us, God, to remember and appreciate the gifts, strengths, and passions you've given to each of us. God, some people here may not be aware of those positives in themselves. Help them to see those, to believe those are there. Help us to recognize our strengths. Remind us, God, that being vulnerable and embracing our part in the body of Christ is courageous. Help us remember, even during the difficult times, that each of us is a vital part of your body. Help us, God, to have the courage to show up and allow ourselves to be seen by others. We desire to embrace courage and to be blessings in this world. We love you so much. Amen. I'm going to scoot out of the way here. So as we go into a time of Eucharist together now, I wanted to share a blessing with you that I came across as I was researching for this message. So according to the Jewish religious law, Shabbat, which is Sabbath, is observed from a few minutes before sunset on Friday evening until the appearance of three stars in the sky on Saturday night, which just that's really cool. But in the Jewish faith, there's a custom of blessing one's children on the eve of the Shabbat and holidays. And this custom of blessing is an especially tender moment in Jewish ritual life. And one of the blessings that's spoken over Jewish children is this, and I'd love to speak it over our community, is to be who you are, and may you be blessed in all that you are. I thought this was especially appropriate for today. And that blessing is actually on the other side of that little card where we have the speech. So if that helps you, take that, put that somewhere you can see it, either side, whichever stands out. Each week as we go to the Eucharist table, we find inspiration and the courage of Jesus, who dared greatly to love and live fully, and to teach us how to love and live fully. As we go to the table, remember the example of courage and love that Jesus gave us. Consider the Jewish blessing to be who you are, and may you be blessed in all that you are, knowing that ultimately, we can and we are blessed to be a blessing. There are tables in the front of the room, on the right or on the left. Go to those tables as you're ready and just dip the bread into the wine or the juice. And as you take that into your body, remember, God's created you as an important part of the body of Christ, and embrace that courage, power, and authenticity. So the tables are ready, and you can go when you're prepared.